Thank you, Mr. Fay, and certainly want to extend a welcome to our visitors today. It's always a pleasure to have you here. As we are quickly approaching the spring holidays, we're reminded of the great, wonderful sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, that we would have our sins forgiven. And it's reassuring to know that at some point, that sacrifice will be made available to all of humanity, to those who choose to accept it. But those of us who have been called now, who are here today, have been chosen by God for a particular reason. God has chosen us to be his priests. Let's take a look at that. 1 Peter, just as a reminder, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God has chosen us. And John reminds us again in Revelation, in chapter 20, in verse 6, of the responsibility that we will have, the reasons that God has called us now. Revelation 20, and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Have you ever stopped to think what it means to be a priest for God? What do you think about when you think about what it means to be a priest? But more importantly, what standard does God set? What are his expectations of his priests? What are the duties that we'll be performing? What does he expect of us? Leviticus 10, turn back here real quickly here. We get an idea of what God expects of his priest in Leviticus 10 and verses 10 and 11. Reading from the New International Version here. You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And you must teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses. We see here one of the duties of a priest is to teach the statutes of the Lord. Are we ready to be teachers? Have you ever thought about that? That one of your responsibilities right now is to prepare to teach. So the question is, how do we prepare to become a teacher of God's laws? Well, we know that in the future, during the millennium, as God's priests, we will be teaching. Let's take a look at that, just as a reminder of that wonderful time that God talks about during the millennium. We'll look at Isaiah verse 2 and chapter 2, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. We look forward to this time. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We also see that repeated in Micah chapter 4, verse 2. The time when people during the millennium will be coming up, coming to learn God's ways. And who will be there to teach them? God, of course, will be. But as his priest, we will also have the responsibility to help teach his ways. So we need to be ready. But that's in the future. What about now? What's our responsibility about teaching right now? Well, for those of you who are parents, you know that you have a responsibility to teach. For those of us parents who have been called by God, he gives us a specific responsibility to teach his ways. And we have a specific audience to whom we're supposed to teach. Let's take a look at that back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy 6 and verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. See, as a parent, particularly as a parent who's been called by God, we have the responsibility. God expects us to be teachers to our children, so that they too can start to learn God's ways and start to live God's ways as they see the example in us, as they see the instructions that come from the Bible. God expects that. So if you're a parent, you are a teacher. But what about everybody else? What about those who aren't parents, who aren't in that position where their children are with them on a regular basis and teaching? Does God expect all of us to be teachers right now? We know, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, that some are called now to be teachers. But what about the others? What's he expect from us? Take a look with me in Hebrews, in chapter 5. We want to look at verses 12 through 14. In Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, I'm reading from the English Majority Text version for this. Verse 12, "For indeed, although you ought to be teachers by this time, again, you have need for someone to teach you what are the elements of the beginnings of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those, because of their practice, have their senses trained for the distinguishing of both good and evil." And again, the distinguishing both good and evil here goes back to the instructions that we saw in Leviticus 10. Being able to distinguish between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean. Paul's stating the same thing here. As we grow, as we mature, we need to be able to have that discernment to tell the difference between good and evil, to recognize the fruits of God's Spirit, and to recognize where we don't see the fruits of God's Spirit. But more importantly here is part of learning to teach, part of preparing to become teachers. We see here that there is a process of maturing, of growing in grace and knowledge and understanding of God's ways. And not just learning them with, quote, book learning, not just being able to memorize verses or to say, oh, well, this particular verse is found in such and such location in the Bible. It goes beyond that. For because of their practice, have their senses trained. That means as we mature, as we learn more, we're also putting it into practice. And that's how we prepare to teach. Living God's ways help us to mature and understand them better. And as we get to that point, as we learn more, as we practice and live by it more, we should be able to teach what we have been given to understand. It's all part of a process. It's all part of being able to prepare to be those teachers in the coming kingdom of God. But wait. You're telling me that I'm supposed to be a teacher? I can't teach. Have you ever found yourself thinking something in that order? I'm not a teacher. I can't do that. That's not something that I can do. Well, a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel that they are not able to teach. And guess what? Whether you recognize it now or not, each and every one of us is a teacher. Why? Because God has called us to become teachers. God has called us to become his priest. And part of the responsibility of that is to teach his law. So if God has called us to become teachers, He will work with us to create that within us. So we are teachers, whether we recognize it yet or not. Now, I've seen a lot of people, particularly when I was in college, who are really experts at what they know. I mean, up one way and down the other, they're experts at it. They know how to do it. They're really skilled at their trade or at their subject. But unfortunately, I ran across a number of them who, even as skilled as they were, they could not really teach. They did it because they had to. It was a university environment, and they had to take one or two classes to help support, you know, their research and so forth. But they couldn't really teach, or they couldn't really teach well. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience too. But we are learning to become experts. As we follow God's ways, as we learn it more deeply, as we practice it, aren't we supposed to become experts at living God's ways? But does that mean we'll be teachers? Well, yes, again, go back to what I just said. God will make us teachers. And for an example of that, how God will do something like that, let's take a look back at Exodus in chapter 35. I'm going to read verses 30 through 34. Now, this was the prelude to the construction of the tabernacle. So as we turn back to Exodus 35, we see what God has done here to make sure that the tabernacle would be built to his specifications. Exodus 35 and verses 30 through 34. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship." Look at the level of skills that God gave to this person. Very artistic, very creative, very capable with his hands, because God wanted someone who knew what they're doing to work on his tabernacle. But is that all God gave this man? Are those the only skills? I mean, that's a lot. That's plenty. But the skills that God gave this man, the talents that he gave this man, didn't stop there. Let's look at verse 34. "And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan." So if God wants you to become a teacher, he will give you that ability. When God has called someone to do a specific work, he will make sure that person has the knowledge, the understanding, and the ability to do that work and to do it well. And we see this as an example. Because obviously, this man was not going to be doing all the work on the tabernacle by himself. So with all the skills that he had, all the experience and the level of artistry that he had to be able to teach others that skill so that the work could be spread out, so that the tabernacle could be finished. God gave him that ability to teach. God gives skills. God gives that teaching ability. And he's going to do the same for us, because that's what he wants us to be doing as part of the duties of being his priests. So even though we may think right now that we're not teachers, be confident that God will provide. God will give you that ability to do that. Knowing that, having that confidence that, okay, God wants me to be a teacher for him in the future, if not now, how do I prepare for that? What do I need to do? Well, there are various things, but the first thing we have to recognize is that in order to teach something, it sounds very obvious, but in order to teach something, we have to know it, don't we? We have to be taught. And God is going to teach us, is teaching us, not necessarily going to. He will continue to teach us. Now, humans, generally speaking, everything that we know, we have had to learn from someone else. We're not like animals. A lot of animals just have instinct programmed right into them, and they don't go to bird school to learn how to fly. It's part of their instinct. We don't necessarily have that. So what we know, what we can do, we have to learn. Now, a lot of people have the ability to pick up a book or watch a video or get on the internet or something like that on particular subjects and so forth, and they can learn that on their own, so to speak. They'll start learning for someone else. Someone else had to write that book. Someone else had to produce that video. But a lot of people have the ability to just pick up a book, read through it, and learn how to do something. And that's great. That's great that people have that ability. But there are a lot of subjects where you can be self-taught. This is not one of them. The Bible is not one of those books that you can just pick up and read through and gain the level of understanding that we need in order to properly teach it. As a reminder of that, let's take a look at Isaiah. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Here in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9, we see the following instructions. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Here in verse 8, we see what God has said. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is a distinction. There is a definite differentiation between our ways and our thoughts and God's ways and God's thoughts. So in order for us to understand what God has written in his word, we can't do that on our own. We can't bridge that gap. We have to have God instructing us. Humanly, we cannot comprehend God's ways, and we certainly would not be able to understand them to the level that we can teach them to someone else. God has to be our teacher. God has to open our minds. He has to give us the understanding that as we are reading through here, oh, I see that. I see how that needs to apply to my life. That's how we learn. God opens up our minds to understand his ways. We can get glimpses of what's in here. We can get brief understandings. But to truly understand it, to go to the depth of the wisdom that is buried within this word, we cannot do that on our own. It requires the Spirit of God. So before we can teach, we have to be taught. And Paul reaffirms this. Paul reaffirms in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 13, that on our own, we really cannot understand what God has revealed in his word, what he's written down here. We can pick it up again, like I say. People do that on a regular basis. There are certain things which are fairly obvious from this, but to get the deeper understanding, to get the broader understanding, requires that we are taught by God. Paul reaffirms this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 13. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So we can't even get to that level of being able to compare spiritual things to spiritual unless God opens up our mind, unless His Spirit is working with us and within us to teach us the word that He has given to us, has freely given to us. The first step in understanding God's word is that God has to teach us to understand the depths that are in there. God has to open up our minds, and we can only learn it as His Spirit instructs us in it. Fortunately, God has promised to do just that. One of the things that Jesus told His disciples, we find in John 14 and verse 26, pertains to that very thing. God's promise that He will teach us. He will use His Spirit to work with us, to help us to understand, to help us to grow in that understanding and to grow in God's ways and to live God's ways. John 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in My name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now that's very reassuring to know that God's promise, His promise to us, is that He will use His Spirit to teach us and to help us remember His ways, not just in which words come where, but in how to apply them. As we find ourselves in various situations, we need to remember God's ways so that we know how to apply them in our lives. God has given us that promise, and since He has promised it, we can be confident that that promise is being kept. Now, as reassuring as it is to know that God has promised to provide us the wisdom, the understanding, the teaching that He's giving us, and that He will provide us the ability to be able to teach at some point, God isn't doing this work by Himself. Each and every one of us has the part to work with God to gain that understanding, to gain that wisdom. And a big part of us working with God is that we have to desire to learn God's ways. We have to want that. We have to realize that this is the way, this is the only way that really leads to life. We have to want that, we have to desire it, we have to maintain a zeal for that. And that's not easy to do, is it? Because every day, every hour in this society around us, the spirit of this world, Satan, is constantly pushing at us, trying to force us into the idea that God's ways, they're just too difficult, or it's too much of a burden. You can't do that. So we have to work against that on a constant basis. And the only way we can do it, because we cannot do it by ourselves, is that we have to go to God on a regular basis and say, please, renew in me your spirit. Help me to desire. Help me to have that zeal that I need to have for your word and for your ways. David reminds us of that, and we've gone over that a number of times recently. In Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. David knew the importance of living his life with a renewed spirit of God within him, with a renewed joy of living God's ways. Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Think about your own situation. When you've had to learn things, which do you learn better? Which do you remember better? Those things that you're excited about, enthusiastic about, or those things that you're doing because, well, you know, I'm expected to do this, I have to do this. It's a lot easier, isn't it, to learn things when you're excited about them, when you want to do these things? That's what David is saying here. Restore the joy. Think about God's salvation, because if you think about the alternative, which is death, what's exciting about that? That God's salvation is life. It's eternal life. We should have a joy in that, and no matter what we're going to have to go through in the near future, as we look beyond, we should be excited about what God has promised, what His plan has to unfold yet. And that excitement, you see that kind of excitement. Any teacher who is excited and enthusiastic about their subject material is a good teacher, or at least better than someone who's up there teaching just because they have to teach. So David's saying, give me that joy, renew that joy, restore in me your spirit, and I'll teach, because there's no better way to learn. I'll teach this to sinners, to transgressors, and I'll do it enthusiastically, because it is a joy to know about your salvation. Joy in God's plan will help make us enthusiastic teachers. And that leads us to another step. How do we prepare to teach? We have to learn. We have to desire God's ways. But we also need to be actively doing this. Now, God opens up our minds to His understanding, but it's not a situation where He's just opening our minds and funneling in the information that we need to know. Learning to become a good teacher is not a passive activity. It requires action. It requires doing something. A teacher will not just stop at the basics. A teacher, to teach well, will continue on, continue learning throughout time, learning it more deeply, learning a broader aspect of the subject they're teaching, to become a better teacher, to be able to explain things and give a better understanding to the students. We can't afford to sit back and rest on what we learned 20 years ago, or 10 years, or 5 years, or even just last year. It's not enough. We need to keep actively growing in God's understanding and in the wisdom that He's provided to us in His Bible and in His Word, because there is such a depth in there, I don't think any of us can truly comprehend what is in here. So there's always something more to learn. So we have to actively seek that learning. We have to actively go to God and ask Him, help me understand better. Help me know your word better and how to apply it in my life. Show me something in here that I need to know. Help me to grow. Let's turn back to Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25, we'll read verses 4 and 5 and then skip to 8 and 9. Psalm 25 illustrates this very principle. To enthusiastically and wholeheartedly go to God and say, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. These aren't the words of someone who's passively sitting by expecting just to be taught. This is someone who wants to learn more, who wants to dig deeper and know how to apply that in his life. Teach me more. Teach me how to apply it. Show me your ways. I can make them my ways. And then jumping down to verse 8 and 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. Help me understand your ways and live by them. You don't need to turn there, but again, in Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. My heart rejoices to fear your name. And then in Psalm 143:10, again, I'll just read that to you. Psalmist very earnestly says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. See, part of actively seeking God's ways, seeking a better understanding, a better knowledge of what is in his word, is to learn by experience. A lot of teachers who become better teachers do so because they have experience in what they are teaching, which is what we need to do with God's ways, with his word, is we need to experience it. And the way to experience it and to gain a better understanding of it is to live by those ways, to learn to live by those ways, and to ask God, help me. Help me understand what your word is saying. Help me understand what your word is saying for me. How do I apply this now? And as we do that, as we gain a better understanding, then we can add another question for ourselves as we go through here. Help me understand it. How do I apply it in my life? How would I explain this to someone else? Start getting in that mind frame of how would I explain why I'm doing what I'm doing? How would I explain God's words? That's part of preparing to become a teacher. Because doing it that way gives us a greater understanding of God's word. So we have to actively seek that understanding. We have to actively ask God, help me live by those words that you are showing me, by the understanding that you're giving me. Because experience makes for a better teacher. And actively seeking that from God will help us to do that. So I come back to the question, are you a teacher? Are you preparing to become a teacher? God has a wonderful plan, and as part of that plan, we have been called to a great responsibility. As priests of God, we'll have the privilege of teaching others the ways of our Lord. What a privilege that will be. What a joyous responsibility that will be. So we need to prepare to teach now. We must first learn from God. We must desire to learn the ways of God, and we must actively seek a greater understanding, and we have to live